I'm going to have you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 16 and 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. Now we're going to begin in 2 Chronicles 28, but we will be reading some verses in both places. So if you'll have 2 Kings 16 marked, and we are picking up where we left off on the wicked reign of Ahaz, King Ahaz of Judah. Last time that we were looking at Ahaz was 2 weeks ago, and we saw that Ahaz was wicked. In fact, he did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, which is kind of strange, being he's a southern boy and he's following after the northern kings in their ways. And then he made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And another way he messed up is he sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. And we're going to see tonight, he actually expands that. You know, we've talked about how the previous kings failed to do away with the high places. Well, he takes it a step further. He's going to expand the high places. You know, bad enough that they didn't do away with them, but he's going to expand them. And we saw the consequences that came to Ahaz and Judah for this great wickedness, how the Lord allowed reason, the king of Syria, to invade Judah. He killed an undisclosed number of them and carried a great multitude of them captive to Damascus. And then the Lord allowed Pekah, the king of Israel, to smite Judah with a great slaughter. And then the Lord allowed Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, to slay one of the king's sons, the governor of the king's house, and the king's closest advisor. And the Lord allowed Israel to spoil Judah and to carry away a great number of them captive to Samaria. And that's where we left off last time. Remember, they were being carried off to Samaria, mostly women and children. Okay. Mostly women and children were being carried, a great number of them, according to 2 Chronicles 28 and verse number 28:8. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. And then we get to tonight's scripture. We see here the intervention of the Lord. God's not happy with what's going on here, how brethren are treating one another. You know, the Lord sees how we treat one another. Yeah. I mean, Israel and Judah were brethren, right? They were. They were all children of Israel. And they weren't treating one another the way they should. Well, we know it went back when the kingdom split, but it's a sad commentary on both the North and the South here. So we see the intervention of the Lord by way of the prophet Obed on behalf of the captives that were carried back to Samaria. Look at 2 Chronicles 28, and let's read verse number 9 through 15, see what's going on here. Says that a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Obed, and he went out before the host that came to Samaria. In other words, they hadn't gotten there yet. They were approaching Samaria. And he said to them, "Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand. And ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Now, so the Lord used them to chastise the south, but now they've taking it too far. And the Lord's going to, the Lord's not happy with them, with what's going on here. Look at verse 12. And certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshil-Lamoth, and Jezekiah, the son of Shalom, and Amasa, the son of Hadaliah, stood up against them that came from the war, and said unto them, ye shall not bring in the captives hither. For whereas we have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass, for our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. I mean, these guys were just still going to go ahead and bring them into Samaria, despite what the prophet said. Look at verse 14. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren, when then they returned to Samaria. So we see the Lord got the attention of some of them here. Obed went out here before the host that came to Samaria, just as they were about to march all these captives into Samaria, and he charged them with the abuse of power that the Lord had given them over their brethren. And though the Lord did allow Israel to attack Judah because he was angry with Judah over their idolatry and over their child sacrifice, the rage by which Israel attacked the brethren, it reached up to heaven. You know, we need to keep in mind that the Lord is always looking at what we do and how far we carry things. So a lot of times we get bent out of shape over some of the smallest things and carry them to the extreme, don't we? You think it reaches up to heaven? You think that maybe sometimes we miss out on some blessings of the Lord because we don't treat the brethren right? I think so. A fourth thing here is we see more defeats for Ahaz and Judah. Look at 2 Chronicles 28 here in verse number 16. Says, and at that time did King Ahaz send to the kings of Assyria to help him. For again, the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. Now think about this. They've already been attacked by Assyria, by their own brethren from Israel. Now the Edomites come and smite them again. At this point, they're three times smitten. And as each one of these times, somebody's been carried away captive. Doesn't tell us how many, but they carried away captives here. Look at verse number 18. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the Low Country and of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth-Shemesh and Ajalon and Gedidroth and Shoko with the villages thereof, and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gizmo also in the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. So the Philistines began invading Judah, south Judah, and took cities and villages, began occupying them. And what was the reason for all of this? Well, look at verse 19. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. So the reason for all this was happening is because of King Ahaz and his egregious sins. And we see next, we see the response of Ahaz to the attacks by Syria and Israel. Let's begin over in 2 Kings, and then we'll come back to 2 Chronicles. But look at 2 Kings chapter number 16. And we want to read two verses here, and then we'll go read the rest of it over in 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings 16, verse 7 and 8. It says here, "So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, 'I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me.' And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria." Over 2 Chronicles 28, and look at verse number 16. First, it says here, "At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him." Okay, he sent it to Assyria. He wants Assyria's help. Let's skip down to verse number 20 and 21. "So Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria..." Man, I would just jet slap his mama for calling him that. I struggle with some of these big names. Some of them are very hard to pronounce. I thank the Lord that my Bible does have the accent marks and all there to kind of help with those things. Otherwise, I'd really be in a hum. But as it says, "And Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him," notice this, "distressed him, but strengthened him not." And verse 21, "For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king, and out of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not." Basically, he took the money, and he went to war against the enemies that Judah wanted him to go to war against, but he didn't deliver the people back to Israel. He carried them into where he wanted them at. And so, did Ahaz repent of his sin and begin to trust the Lord as the prophet Isaiah encouraged him to do in Isaiah 7 that we saw last time? No. We will see that Ahaz actually doubled down on his wickedness in several different ways by the time everything is said and done. But let's just consider the first additional act of wickedness. Instead of repenting and trusting the Lord for deliverance, Ahaz submitted himself, that's what we just read, he submitted himself and his kingdom to the king of Assyria. Psalm 146 verse 3 tells us, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help." He goes to look for help from man rather than go to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know, I've done you wrong, and I know this while this is coming on me. Forgive me and help me now to get out of this." He didn't do that. But Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, who was the powerful king of Assyria, with the presence of gold and silver that he took from the treasures of the temple and even his own palace, requesting his assistance. Think about this now. Ahaz robbed the temple of the Lord in order to buy help from a heathen king. That's what he did. And on top of that, he submitted himself and his people to this king. In other words, he really wasn't ruling at this time. He had to do what the king of Assyria was telling him to do. Yeah, he was submissive to the king of Assyria. And at that time, Syria was incorporated into the Assyrian Empire. Tiglath-Pileser was only too glad to take this opportunity to subdue both Syria and Israel and gain an outlet to the sea. There was a place that he gained an outlet there. And he marched on Damascus. He killed Rezin, which, you know, that was good for Judah. But he carried the people of Damascus captive to Kir. You know, Rezin had carried the Judah to Damascus, and he's carrying them from Damascus to Kir. Didn't take them back. That's why the scripture is saying here that he He didn't strengthen him. He helped him not. And so at that time, Syria was incorporated into the Assyrian Empire, and at the same time, Tiglath-Pileser also annexed part of the land of Israel, that's mentioned in 2 Kings 15:29, and this was prior to Israel's total defeat under the next Assyrian king that came along the way that we've already taken a look at in 2 Kings 17:3-6, when we saw the downfall of the northern boys. Shalmaneser came in and finished the task of carrying away the northern kingdom into captivity. So Ahaz, I mean, he paid all this heavy financial price at the expense of the temple and the expense of his own house. Sends all this silver and all this gold, but he wasn't done paying because of what happens next. We're going to see he really had to pay here. And that's the sixth thing I want us to see. We see the distressed Ahaz trespass even more against the Lord God by adding the Assyrian gods to his portfolio by which he brought his own ruin. You know, we've seen this happen before, right? There was a previous king that we saw that who went and defeated the Edomites and took the Edomite gods and brought back and started worshiping the gods of the ones that did the Edomites no good. But here we see a little bit different scenario. Look at 2 Chronicles 28. Look at verse 22. 2 Chronicles 28, verse number 22. And at the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, and he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. Look back at 2 Kings 16, and we see how this transpired, and what exactly took place here. 2 Kings 16, verse number 10. 2 Kings 16, verse number 10. It says here, and King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. Excuse me. And saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah, the priest, the fashion of the altar. In other words, he sent him plans. He told him what it looked like. And maybe sent him a pattern of it there. Look at what it says. The priest, the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. And Urijah, the priest, built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah, the priest, made it against King Ahaz came from Damascus. In other words, he made it before King Ahaz made it back from Damascus. Verse 12, and when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached the altar and offered thereon, and he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering, and poured his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. Now this all sounds like the same kind of verbiage of sacrificing unto the Lord, except it was done to a heathen god. Look at verse 14. And he brought also the brazen altar which was before the Lord, from the front, forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. He's starting to convert things out of the temple into this this heathen god worship. Verse 15, and King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offerings and the evening meat offering and the king's burnt sacrifice and his meat offering, and the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their meat offering and their drink offerings, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Thus did Urijah the priest according to all that King Ahaz commanded. So, pretty bad here when you got the people of the land, and we're talking about even those who were for the Lord. You know, there's been a remnant that trusts the Lord, living through all of this stuff, of the kingdom going to pot because of wicked kings. And, you know, they're still bringing their sacrifices, but now the sacrifices that they're bringing, this heathen king has taken and he's switched it. Ahaz has switched this from being sacrificed to the Lord to being sacrificed to the god there of Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. So, just a really bad situation there. We see Ahaz further desecrate the house of God and the vessels taken from the house of God, and he actually shut the doors to the temple. Now, let's read here in 2 Kings 16, look at verse 17 and 18. And Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases and removed the laver from off them and took down the sieve from off the brazen oxen that were under it and put it upon a pavement of stones. And the covert for the Sabbath that they had built in the house and the king's entry without turned he from the house of the Lord for the king of Assyria. This was a part of his appeasement also to the king of Assyria, from the wording that we see there. Look at 2 Chronicles 28 and verse number 24. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 24. It says, and Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. So here he's got altars going up all over the place, and it just gets worse in the next verse. We see in verse 25, we see it has provoked the Lord further by expanding the high places in Judah. It says, and in every several city of Judah he made the high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. So, and the final thing we see here in these passages of Scripture is mentioned both in 2 Kings 16, verse 19 and 20, but we're going to read the portion here because we're in 2 Chronicles 28, verse 26 and 27. We see the Lord God terminated his reign by terminating his life. Look at verse 26. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. So, Ahaz died in the 16th year of his wicked rule, having done much damage to the kingdom of Judah. Both politically and spiritually, he had been instrumental in undermining the very foundations of the kingdom of Judah. And though Ahaz was buried in Jerusalem, he was not buried with the other kings of the house of David. Now, Lord willing, next week, we're going to finally see things take a turn. We're going to see his son Hezekiah is going to reign in his stead. Hezekiah is a good king. We're going to see Hezekiah had a good reign. You ever known of someone who came out of a wicked background that turned out good and wondered how in the world that could happen? It can happen, though, can it? It can. It's kind of one of the things we're praying for with the baby girl. You know, she come out of a wicked background. Just pray that she'll, you know, come to know the Lord at a young age. The Lord's able to overcome the background of where she came out of. But here we see that we're going to see the good reign of Hezekiah. In fact, if you think about, it's just amazing that Hezekiah made it out alive. Okay, because his dad was offering the children to Molech. And extra biblical sources, we're not told here in the scripture, but some sources outside of the Bible say that his mother rescued him from being placed in the fiery hands of Molech. And I can't confirm or deny that, but my, what a turnaround we're going to see in the nation. And we see that his mother's name is mentioned there, which means that she had, anytime the mother's name is mentioned, it means that she had an effect upon that king. And I think that's the effect, probably, that's not told to us here in the scripture. But, you know, we're going to see good King Hezekiah. So, Lord willing, we'll pick up right there next time. All right, let's take and pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs. That's our Bible study for this evening. We'll pray for the needs that we have gone over, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.